Good morning and welcome again to Mornings for the Master, right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea. I am your host every Thursday here on Mornings for the Master. And in our Thursday program at this time, we are studying the book of John. And today, for our consideration, we're going to be looking at John chapter 11. So let's go to our text and get right into our study today. We have a lot to cover. And so I hope you'll stay with me over the next hour as we spend this time in God's Word and getting our day moving in the right direction. John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary her sister, saying, The teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, She arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things that Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish." Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then, from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness, to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What do you think, that he will not come to the feast?" Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. Now let's go back to verse 1 And in verses 1 through 6, let's notice the sickness of Lazarus. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha, and lived in Bethany on the east side of the Mount of Olives. Luke chapter 10 and John 1 and John 12 reveal to us the very special and close relationship that Jesus had with these 3 siblings. Notice that Mary and Martha showed great faith in the simple statement they sent to Jesus. There was no request or pleading, no details about the situation, just faith and simple trust that Jesus would take care of the situation in the best way that he saw fit. Now, verse 3 said, Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now notice the response of Jesus when he received the message from the 2 sisters. This was not going to be a permanent death at this time. Though Lazarus would later suffer death, the first death, as all men have an appointment with that first death, Jesus pointed out that God would be glorified. Jesus was going to use this occasion to increase the faith of these and other believers. Now notice verse 6. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. So Jesus stayed 2 more days before he was heading toward Bethany. This may have caused great stress in Mary, and especially in Martha. But Jesus was about to use this moment to confirm his power over even death and the grave. And so now as we move forward in verse 6, we see that Jesus prepares to go to Bethany. So, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. This is verse 6. And then in verse 7, then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." So 2 days after receiving the news about Lazarus, Jesus decides to set out for Bethany. In verse 8, the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" So the apostles were certainly not excited about the prospect of this, especially in light of the violent reaction of the Jews the last time they were there. Recall chapter 10 and verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Verse 9, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." So Jesus pointed out that 12 hours a day provides light in which men can see and not stumble. The other 12 hours of the, which are the night, give danger to stumbling. Jesus is pointing out that he would do his work, and his work was the will of the Father. Death would come calling when his work was done. Jesus would return to Judea to do the will of the Father. He points out why he is returning to Bethany in verse 11. "These things he said, and after that he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him.'" The apostles did not understand the sleep Jesus was speaking of. They were thinking it was the resting after an illness, where one will sleep a good bit of the time and rebuild their strength. The apostles saw no reason to make this risky and dangerous trip to go to someone who they believed was already getting well and improving in their own minds. So Jesus had to point out their misunderstanding of the situation. Notice verse 12. Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Jesus was glad that he had not been at Lazarus' side when he had been sick. If he had of, he would have been compelled to heal him. Since he had not been there, he could not demonstrate his power over death and the grave and build the faith of those followers. Because he did not go immediately, he would now have that opportunity. He said in the next verse, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Thomas encouraged the other disciples by saying that they should go with him and even die if it was needed. Notice now, verse 16, "Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.' Now they set off, and we'll see now as Jesus goes and meets Mary and Martha. We begin again in verse 17. "So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into this world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Now let's go back to verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. So Lazarus would have apparently died close to the time that Jesus received the message about Lazarus. Jesus stayed where he was for 2 days, and it would have been a 1 to 2 day journey to Bethany. So this would certainly give a credence to the fact that he had been buried for 4 days. The Jews typically buried the dead by sundown on the day of death, as was their custom. Many of the Jews had came to give comfort to Mary and Martha in their grief. Notice verse 20. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Martha went out to meet Jesus when he arrived in Bethany. Martha meets the Lord and tells Jesus that she believed that if he had been there earlier, he would have prevented the death of Lazarus. And Martha also knew that Jesus, as the Christ, could ask any desire of the Father and it would be heard. Verse 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." This incredible act of faith on the part of Martha is soon going to be rewarded. She knew that even now he could raise Lazarus. Though Martha had her problems, as we read of in the various gospel accounts, she was without doubt a lady of great faith. In verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again. Martha knew and believed that Lazarus would rise in the resurrection. She believed and knew that with God all things are possible. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" So Jesus reminds her that he is the resurrection and that he is the source of life. He reminds her that those who believe will have eternal life. The believer will not have to face the second death. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now verse 27, she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Martha, a woman full of faith and courage, proclaims her confession that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. Verse 28, "And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary her sister, saying, 'The teacher has come and is calling for you.' As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him." The Lord had asked for Mary also to come. So Martha goes and brings back Mary. Martha attempted to secretly bring her, but others also become aware of Jesus being near. Probably in the vicinity of the tomb of Lazarus. Verse 30, "Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, 'She is going to the tomb to weep there.'" Notice the reaction of Mary when she sees the Lord. Her humility and her humble spirit are shown on more than one occasion in the scripture. Verse 32, "Then, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" We find the same great faith in Mary that we did in Martha. She believed in the power of Jesus Christ. She fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him. "Indeed, worthy is the Lamb of all praise, glory, and adoration." Jesus is filled with love and compassion and mercy for his friends. How comforting it is to know that Jesus always remembers those that are his own. The prophet Nahum, in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7, said, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust him." Back to our text, verse 33, "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, "Come and see." And Jesus wept. The question has been asked, does Jesus care? And here we find the question answered. I'm reminded of the old hymn we sing from time to time. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark, with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. It has been suggested by Burton Kaufman, among others, that perhaps the reason Jesus wept was because he was bringing back Lazarus from paradise. And so now, in verses 36 through 45, we see the raising of Lazarus. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Mary, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. So we see a couple of different reactions to this, to the scene of Jesus weeping. In verse 36, then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of the people are moved by the love of Jesus for his friend Lazarus. Verse 37, and some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Concerning this, Brother Robert Taylor, Jr. noted that The other group, as per the Greek construction, referred to Jesus and the blind man, asking if Jesus could not have kept this blind man from dying. A negative answer is called for by their question. And it was likely that they really meant to say he could not keep this man from dying, and did he really make the blind see? If such were their exhibited attitude, this may well account for Jesus' groaning in verse 38. Verse 38, then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus now instructs the stone to be rolled away that blocked the tomb. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." So Martha expresses her concern. She was well aware that after 4 days in the tomb, the body would now stink, and the process of decaying would be well underway. In verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" So, this in response to the somewhat forward protesting of Martha, Jesus reminds her of his statement to her previously in verses 23 through 26. There it said, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Martha was a believer, and she was about to see the glory of God according to verse 40. Now we move to verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who were standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." So the stone is removed, and the glory of God is about to be shown. The prayer of Jesus indicates that he had already prayed to the Father concerning Lazarus. The prayer was for the benefit of those witnesses. It was not asking for a power that in fact he already possessed. Verse 43 says, "Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' So Jesus, when he had finished praying, commanded Lazarus to come forth from the grave. Lazarus was dead, and now he was alive and immediately obeyed the command of the Messiah. He came out of the tomb still in his grave clothes." Jesus gives the command to loosen him and free him. Verse 44, "And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" This most incredible of all the miracles to this point would produce faith in many of the witnesses. Verse 45, "Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen the things Jesus did, believed in him. Some, however, would not believe or become obedient to Jesus Christ. And they went and reported this to the Jewish leaders. Notice verse 46, but some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. They would further anger the Jewish leaders against Jesus, and they would further their resolve to destroy the one with power over even death. What a foolish position to take. How many, though, today resist the power of Jesus Christ, the one with all authority in heaven and earth, just to please men? The question is still there for us today, as we've looked at so many times. What will you do with Jesus? Now, in verses 45 through 57, we see Jesus returning to Ephraim. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus demonstrated his power over death and that he is the giver of life when he raised Lazarus from the tomb. Again, Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days and his body was decaying. But Jesus has authority over all things, even over the body. In fact, Jesus was glad for this event to happen so that his disciples and all the people would truly believe. In verse 42, he said, "And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me," as he prayed to the Father. It was a moment when no one believed, for they all thought Jesus had come too late. Mary and Martha, their response had been, "If you'd been here, our brother would not have died." The crowds are questioning. Could not he have opened the eyes of the blind man? Also have kept Lazarus from dying? They did not understand who Jesus is. No one had the level of faith they needed to truly believe. But now the greatest of all signs has been accomplished. Jesus had risen a man from the dead by simply crying out, "Lazarus, come forth." In verse 44, we saw that Lazarus came out of the tomb, still bound in his burial clothes. And we see him live as if nothing had ever happened to him. Oh, what a glorious and incredible moment this must have been as his sisters hugged him. And they hugged Jesus with tears of joy. Jesus did not have to be there, and it was not too late. For those who believe in Jesus, there's no such thing as too late. But what will be the response of the crowds and the Jewish leaders as the news of this resurrection of Lazarus begins to spread? First, we go back to verse 45. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. So in those two verses, we see two reactions. Verse 45 points out that many of the Jews believed. They had just seen a dead man come out of the tomb. This was no trick. There could be no greater illustration to show that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that he is the Son of God, the resurrection and the life, than through this amazing event. So many believed in Jesus at that moment. This is what the sign of this resurrection was supposed to accomplish. It was intended to cause people to make a decision about him. Would they follow him because they recognized that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Unfortunately, some would not. Some went to the Pharisees in Jerusalem and told them what Jesus had done. Now, what would the Sanhedrin council do in response? Notice verse 47. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many signs." So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What shall we do? He works many signs." The council was the ruling body of Israel in all civil, criminal, and religious matters. And now they have a problem. Jesus does many signs. What should we do? They wondered. Listen to verse 48. "If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation." Can you believe that? "If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." What a problem. If Jesus continues going around doing miracles and raising people from the dead, then we're going to have a problem with the Roman government, and they will take away our position of power in our nation. Rather than them looking at Jesus and being amazed at what Jesus is doing and coming to have faith in the claims of Jesus, they look at their own problem. What are we going to do about it? Verse 49, "And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, 'You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not the whole nation should perish.' Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad." So how do you handle this problem? Caiaphas, the high priest at that time to Israel, had a solution. He decided that it is better for one person to perish than for the whole nation to perish. In other words, if we kill Jesus, then we can keep doing what we're doing. If we don't kill Jesus, we're going to lose everything. But John reveals something quite interesting to us in the next couple of verses. 51. "Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad." Little did Caiaphas know that his words were actually prophetic. How true it is that in God's eye he saw that it was better for Jesus, the Son of God, to perish than for his whole creation to perish. This was the choice that was set before our gracious and loving God. Every human is going to perish because of their sins. God could allow every human to die in eternal torment for their sins, as each of us deserves to do, or God could allow Jesus to die for the sins of the world. God decided that it was better for one to die. Look at verse 52 again. "And not for the nation only, but also that he gather into one the children of God who were scattered abroad." Jesus would die for the world so that each person could be gathered into one family as the children of God. Sin separates man from God, and Jesus would reconcile man back to the Father. So the council, rather than understanding what Jesus had come to do and coming to believe in him, decided that they would put him to death. Verse 53 says, "Then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death." They've been trying to arrest him and stone him repeatedly, but now their efforts will only intensify. They see a Roman intervention coming against the nation if they do not kill Jesus soon. So kill him is what they must do. This is what happens in our hearts. We either draw closer to Jesus in belief or try to get Jesus out of our lives. So Jesus would no longer walk openly among the Jews. He knew their plans and he knew what they were trying to do. Jesus would not allow them to arrest him and kill him until he was ready to give his life for the nation. Verse 54, therefore Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Verse 55 tells us that it is the Passover. The Passover required all the male Jews to return to Jerusalem. So Jesus is going to come back to Jerusalem. It is time for the Passover lamb to be slain for the people. And Jesus is going to be the sacrificial lamb for the people's sins. It's ironic that the people are purifying themselves in preparation for Passover, but their hearts need to be purified as their leaders are plotting to kill Jesus. Verse 56, then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple. What do you think, that he will not come to the feast? So 56 shows another problem and a common reaction that shows unbelief. The people are simply spectators. They want to see if Jesus is going to come to Jerusalem for the Passover. Why do they care? They just want to see what is going to happen next. They're not giving their lives to Jesus. They don't love Jesus. They just want to watch and see what's happening. Verse 57. Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. Jesus is a wanted man in Jerusalem. He is wanted, and the people have been told to tell their leaders where he is when they see him. As Isaiah prophesied, Jesus is numbered with the transgressors. Isaiah 53 and verse 12. The scene is now set for Jesus to give his life for the world. And again today, we have to ask the question of what are we going to do about Jesus? Jesus causes us to have to make a decision. Just as those Jewish leaders face that decision, what are we going to do? Verse 47, they said, what shall we do, for this man works many signs? There is a cost to saving faith. Each of us makes a calculation of how the faith that Jesus demands will affect us. This is what those religious leaders of that day were doing. They're trying to figure out what to do because if Jesus keeps on doing what he's doing, they're going to lose what they value most. This was the problem for the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler thought he had been keeping God's law, but Jesus sees what he's unwilling to part with. That was his wealth. And he tells him he must give up his wealth. Whatever it is that we prize or value, Jesus asks us to part with it to follow him. The religious leaders did not want to give up their place of power. They wanted to be in charge, not Jesus. They wanted the people to listen to them, not Jesus. They wanted the power, not Jesus. Unbelief is not a lack of information, but a heart of rebellion against God, His authority, and His word. Jesus spoke about the depth of their unbelief in Luke 16 and verse 31. If they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Jesus has just raised a dead man to life. And what is the response of some of these people and their leaders? We need to kill Jesus. Many do not want to have to give up what's required for a saving faith. That's our problem. It's not that we cannot believe, it's that we don't want to believe. It is selfishness. It is not wanting to change when Jesus calls for change. Man too often wants to be able to sleep around, to be able to have sex before marriage, to have affairs, to be able to divorce and remarry without cause, to worship when we feel like it, to worship the way we want to worship, to do things our way. We want to do what we want, and we will come up with some sort of reasonable sounding excuse and think then that we have the faith that Jesus is looking for. Jesus says we're to forsake everything to follow Him. Jesus said to love Him with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your might. But too often man just wants Jesus to go away and leave us alone. It's those small decisions we make each day that often show we're not really interested in following Jesus. Decisions to not read God's words today, to not pray today, to not put our spouse ahead of ourselves, or to train our children in the discipline of the Lord. Those little decisions to think of ourselves first, to do what's comfortable and enjoyable for us. We make choices each day, and really they're huge decisions. Satan causes us to think they're no big deal, but indeed they are. Satan wants you to think it's okay to ignore Bible study or prayer today. Satan wants you to stay away from deepening your love for Jesus by not reading His word today. God gave up one so that we would not have to perish. But what will you do? What will your answer be? How can we reject Him? How can we neglect Him? How can we be cold toward Him? How are you going to respond to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? How will you respond knowing that He has come to be your life, to be your everything? Paul said in Galatians 2:20, as we close, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What are you going to do with Jesus? He is the one who loved you and gave Himself for you. Will you respond to Him? Thank you for joining me. We'll see you next time here on Mornings for the Master.